The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Okay, we're back again. My name is Shane Stapleton. With me today I have Declan Maron from Ladbrokes. Declan, how are you?
Not too bad.
Pat Nolan, you're back again.
Yep.
And also from the Mirror as well, Eamon Doggett.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good stuff, lads. Big show coming up today. We'll have a look at the GA this weekend, mostly the Allianz Hurling League, and a little touch on club action as well, and maybe some of the refix football. There's plenty of soccer happening, FA Cup and Champions League running into next week. Bit of horse racing, and we'll have a look ahead to the League of Ireland season starting this weekend. First off, want to have a little look at the big game this Saturday evening down in the good field in Thurles. Pat, tip against Wexford.
Yeah, interesting game. Wexford top of the table. It's not untypical for a team to come. We see it in football, I suppose, more often than not with the Division One. When a team comes up, they really go for it and try to hit the ground running in the league, which Wexford have done. They've been fairly impressive in their two games. Won them. They were reasonably the better side against both Wexford and Waterford and Cork.
Biggest test for them this
weekend.
You know what with Davy Fitz, he's obviously putting out a strong team from the start of the year, much like he did last year when he won Division 1B, got promotion, got to semi-final, beating Kilkenny on the way. In the past, it would seem, don't peak during the league because you want to be right during the summer. I kind of have this sense that players are so fit throughout the year now. There's no such thing as expending your best stuff in February, March or April. Like, if you keep yourself right, you can play well and have a really strong league, but also a really strong championship. I don't see the issue as long as you don't burn players out.
Yeah, and I think that's particularly true with the gap there is between the league and the championship. I think the league finals the last weekend of March this year. That's 6 weeks before anyone starts their championship campaign.
Now, there'll probably be a bit of club action in between.
Yeah.
Maybe not too much, but...
Yeah, well, it depends on the county, but... Yeah. I don't see that as being a factor in this day and age, nor certainly not to the same degree. I was down in Thurles the other day for the GA had a promotional event for this particular game, and I think that question was put to Jim O'Keefe that Wexford got to a league semi-final and... Only lost. That was the only game they lost in the entire league, and then they beat Kilkenny, and then they obviously lost to
Galway,
and then Waterford. And I think the question was put to Jim that did you kind of run out of steam or put too much into the league? But he obviously refuted that question, but I would tend to agree with that. And that, I think that they played well in the league, they played well in the championship, and they were just beaten by two teams that are better than them. Not because they ran out of gas. They were beaten by the two teams contested the other final.
Tipperary have put out half a team against Clare.
Yeah.
Clare put out a full team, much like Wexford have been doing.
Yeah.
Tip struggled a little bit with Waterford in the second game before just coasting past them.
Yeah.
A very experimental Waterford team. And I think Tipperary, depending on what team shows up, if Tipperary put out a lot of their front runners, I think they'll win this game and always be slightly ahead.
Yeah.
But there's a good chance that Wexford will be targeting this far more and they will win it. Declan, what are the prices for this game?
Yeah, tip at 4-11 and the draw is at 10-1 and Wexford are at 5-2. I thought that stood out a little bit, actually. I mean, 5-2, if you think it's going to be a close game, isn't a bad price at all. Or even 2-1 for Wexford to win the first half, I thought was really, really good value. The handicap, by the way, is 4, so tip minus 4, 11-10. Wexford plus 4, 5-6, and the tie at 10-1.
Yeah, I was looking at Wexford 5-6. I think that's the bet here as well. Another one I was looking at is Cathal Dunbar, who's in the middle of a club transfer thing, and I'm sure that's a little bit distracting, maybe more so from the outside us looking at it. We think it is, maybe it's not, but I didn't see a price for him, so I'm not sure if he's unavailable. But he's looked impressive so far this year. I saw him scoring a goal against Dublin in Parnell Park in the Walsh Cup. That's worth looking at closer to the time as well. Obviously, once you see the teams named, that's when you can start going in heavy on this. David Dunn scored 2-2 against Waterford, and at 4-1 for first goal, he's not bad. First goal for the away team. That's not bad. Much like Jason Ford, he's the first goal scorer for the home team, 4-1.
You might miss out on a little bit of value with that, though, because we are doubling the odds on your winning first goal scorers if they score inside 20 minutes, so there's plenty of time to get on your goal scorer. Hopefully go in there and you end up with double the odds on done. And even I was looking at the goal scorer markets, actually. I mean, having a go on something like first goal scorer and team to win, I mean, if you did fancy Wexford, you get a whopping price for David Dunn and Wexford at about 20-1.
That is good. And I mean, I think it's very hard to put a gun to people's head here and say, who do you think is going to win? Because much like all these league games, you need to see what team is put out, who's affected by injuries, who's affected by the Fitzgibbon and the Sigerson Cup. So I'm not going to put a gun to your head. But Pat, you seem like you want to say something there.
I'm just at the goal score marker for that game. Wexford obviously played defensive formation to which is designed to cut down and conceding goals. I would fancy Tip to win the game, but I don't think there'd be a huge amount of goals in it. Like for a goal each, 13-2, for no goals at all, 16-1.
Would it be goals, all right? Well, I know. Look, you might actually be right.
Like there was two goals in the in the Tip Water game. I think there was two goals and there was one goal in the Wexford Cork game.
Goals are hard to come by.
Yeah, so, well, because increasingly so because of how teams are setting up. So, you know, 16-1 might be, it obviously is a long shot for no goals, but 13-2 for a goal each is not too bad.
Yeah, and speaking of sweepers, Galway versus Offaly. Last year in the Championship, Offaly played two sweepers against Galway and conceded 33 points, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Didn't concede a goal. If Galway, like, Offaly beat Dublin at Croke Park in the first round of the league. I think anyone who wasn't overly romanticising the result on the day and had a little bit of realism about them realised this is a Dublin team that's got very few frontline players who will be there during the summer.
Absolutely.
If Galway are in any way bothered at all, and they only beat Antrim by a couple of points, but if they're anyway bothered, they'll win this by a point a man.
I'm not so sure at this time of year, given how they started the competition. The handicap's 12. I think it's more likely that Offaly would come inside that than go the other way. You mentioned that Offaly played sweepers last year. I actually have a piece with Kevin Martin in today's paper.
By the mirror.
Yeah. That's why we're here. But he won't be playing sweeper on Sunday. He'll be going out very much the way they did against Dublin and taking them on. Now they could get themselves a bloody nose for that, but. I think it'll be more rewarding than the system they played last year. Like they played two sweepers against Galway last year and conceded 33 points, as you said. That was a record points tally for a senior championship match in history.
Yeah.
White flags, obviously.
And they made a hero out of Aidan Hart, who was sweeper that day, too.
And then they went out and played the same system against Waterford 2 weeks later and conceded 135. So the two highest tallies in terms of points only in hurling history, championship, were conceded by Offaly in the space of a fortnight. So... I don't think they'll be beaten as badly as that this Sunday. I don't see them winning, but I think they suffered a bit with the hype that you mentioned, which absolutely ridiculous after the Dublin game. Some of the stuff that went around on social media was more self-promotional than anything else from certain people. But I think they suffered for the hype that was in the county, and there was 4,500 at the next game, which. Is modest enough, generally speaking, but for the crowds Offaly have been getting
Limerick
for home
game.
League games. Yeah.
Tell me, why do the likes of Offaly and Laois get so many red cards? Because was it Dermot Short was sent off this time?
Yeah.
It just seemed that, and to me, it's a team that is off the pace, is putting in lazy, late tackles because they just can't get there. And I think that because they're a little bit off the pace and they're regularly against teams that are better than them, this kind of thing constantly slips in and it really costs you in terms of the size of the defeat.
Yeah, well, it certainly did that day. I think, Limerick were always going to win that match. Would they have won it by 17 points, 15-15? No, I don't think so. And Offaly missed a penalty and a few frees on top of that. I think in terms of that particular incident, I saw it on TV, the highlights, Dermot Short's second yellow was just a kind of an off the ball. It was a bit headless, to be honest. The ball was gone, and he pulled his man back. So, it's not that he was under undue pressure at the time. So, I'd say there possibly is something in your theory about the ill discipline. But I'd say there's a bit more to it than that, because Offaly have had, I suppose, last 15 years now they've tended to get players sent off on an all too regular basis, but. Personally, on Sunday, I think they'll play better than certainly better over 70 minutes than they did against Limerick. It's vital that they keep the full confidence on the field, and I would fancy them to not to push Galway all the way, but to certainly come within the 12 points.
Definitely.
No real value in the match betting for that one, with Galway at 1-33. So as you mentioned, the handicap 12 points, Galway minus 12 at 10-11. Offaly plus 12, 10-11, and the tie at 14-1. I'd suggest that's probably one for the accumulators. Galway minus 12 if you do fancy, or vice versa.
Yeah, it just depends on the Galway that show up on the day. I think. Sunday at 2 PM, Waterford against Kilkenny. It's a bit of a relegation battle actually, because both are on 0 points so far. Waterford bottom on minus 16 score difference, Kilkenny minus 6. I just wonder, like, I always find it very interesting to see what Brian Cody does with his teams. I still think he's at the forefront when it comes to tactical innovations, and I don't think he's ever afraid to try things, and perhaps that's the confidence over years of succeeding. You don't care if someone questions your decision. You're willing to take a punt if you think it makes sense. He's very pragmatic that way, in my opinion. I just wonder, is Padraig Walsh, who they've needed to put full back because they've struggled back there, and it's the one position where you can't afford to have a weakness, is he going to be released from full back? Because they could really do with his hurling out around the middle eight. And another question for this particular game is, will Austin play Gleeson, if fit, will he play at number six as he did against Tipperary, or will he go centre forward and perhaps be picked up by Killian Buckley?
Pat? I don't see Padraig Walsh moving.
Because they can't afford to?
Yeah. I think he could bring more to the team. Well, I think he certainly would bring more to the team playing further out the field, but would the team lose more by having another at full back? I think they possibly would. I think Brian Cody seems to have lost his faith in Joey Holden as full back. Yeah, you know, after the 2016 All-Ireland final, I'm not sure if he's actually started a game in that particular position.
No,
or certainly not a pivotal game anyway. Yeah. And I almost think the more people call for Padraig Walsh to be brought out the field, the less likely Brian Cody is to do it. So I don't see him changing that. He played JJ Delaney full back, I don't know, for maybe half his career.
Almost half his
was that his best position? No. But you know, he was obviously able to do a job there when he felt that Noel Hickey was when he was injured and when he wasn't quite getting to the level that he was before. So I think he's very pragmatic about that. He's a former fullback himself as well, obviously. So I don't see him moving Padraig Walsh anytime soon. As for Austin Gleeson, I was at the Waterford Wexford match. He kind of played as an auxiliary midfielder that day. He was centre back the last day. So he probably played his main position last year was centre forward. So God knows where he'll end up this weekend. I think Derek McGrath has mixed it up a lot in this league already, even in only two games. He had his team picked for the Tipperary match prior to playing Wexford. They probably have more players, or certainly as many players as any other county involved in Fitzgibbon. So team selection is very hard to form an opinion on these matches, as you said, because you just don't know how teams are going to line out or what their priorities are. So I think Waterford are at a stage where Derek McGrath isn't going to be saying, well, we've lost the first two matches, we badly need to win this one. So
I
think he'll be pragmatic about it. Sorry?
Yeah. And being in Division 1B is fine.
Yeah, you can lose all your games by 30 points and you still have your playoff to stay up at the end of it all.
With that in mind, and the fact that they've both been a bit disappointing so far, and even though it's not a vintage Kilkenny team by any means, 11-8 looks very big for Kilkenny in the match betting. I would have thought for a game like this where I think we're all expecting it to be relatively close. I mean, the match handicap, we'll get onto that in a minute, but it's 1 point.
Yeah,
11-8 looks
a draw or either team to win by less than 4 points is 8-11. Draw 10-1, not bad either. Mm. Two teams that are not exactly pulling up trees. Do you want to run through a couple of the other prices
We'll give you the full match betting. 8-11 Waterford to 8-1 about the draw, and Kilkenny 11-8. And then the handicap is Waterford minus 1 at 10-11, Kilkenny plus 1 at evens, and the tie at 10-1.
Okay, we're just about to finish up on the GA. Pat, just those one price you liked in Limerick against Dublin in the hurling on Saturday evening at 7.
Look, Dublin have obviously struggled so far. They don't have their full hands to play with at the moment. I wasn't surprised that Offaly beat them, given the teams they put out, but I was surprised it was 13 points in the end. I thought they'd fare much better against Antrim, having put out a much stronger team. They struggled to victory there, so I think when the Napiershik players come back in for Limerick, that it will obviously be a help, but I don't think it'll be a transformative thing in the way it potentially would be for Dublin. So I think Limerick are much closer to their optimum at the moment than Dublin are. And I think they could do them for more than 5 points. The handicap is 5 points, 10 to 11, for Limerick to clear that tomorrow or Saturday night in Limerick. I fancy them to do that.
Good enough. That's the definitely.
And yeah, just to point out, the game on the Sunday, isn't it? Clare Cork is our double odds match as well. So yeah, double odds on winning first goal scorers and that as well. If you are having a go, just looking at the, well, just round up a few of the teams you mentioned there, a couple of odds on prices. I mean, you know, fairly decent accumulator. Say for example, Limerick -5, Galway -12, and I think you mentioned Wexford +4. You get around 5 to 1 in the treble on that. So that's reasonable enough if you're trying to
putting a little nippy sweetie on. Indeed. Yeah, so that's the hurling, lads. Just moving on to the, we'll move on to the football and the FA Cup, the fifth round proper. Not sure why they call it proper, but the fifth round this weekend. There's 8 games coming up. We'll just focus in on a couple of them. West Brom against Southampton is one that stood out to me Saturday at 3 o'clock, because both teams are in kind of dire relegation trouble. And is it a bit of a distraction? Is that a positive thing to have the distraction, or are you using your resources in something that's kind of somewhat expendable? Do you really need an FA Cup run?
I was going to say, when you said stood out, I was going to ask you to expand on that. It doesn't look like the most entertaining clash.
When they met recently, it was 3-2. So, that's not bad. That's not bad. West Brom beat Poole 3-2 in the last round at Anfield. So, that's not bad going. Southampton beat Watford in the last round. But West Brom under Pardew, bottom of the table with 11 games left, sacked their chairman and their chief executive. Daniel Sturridge off after 3 minutes against Chelsea. You know, like, bringing him in was like looking at the Titanic sink and throwing over a set of water wings. You know, this guy isn't going to get it done.
Well, they didn't pay a fee for him.
I think he's brilliant, though.
I think it was worth a punt from their point of view, because it's not as if they were paying a huge transfer fee. It was just a loan till the end of the season. Now, it hasn't obviously worked out so far. I don't think anyone was surprised to see him going off the other night.
Eamon, you're still here.
yeah, sorry. I'm still here.
Just not a GAA, man.
No, I've had my quiet time. Yeah. Obviously very unlucky with Sturridge, but I don't think he suits their style. I can see why Pardew, they need a goal scorer, but when West Brom were playing well, they used to think of Matt Phillips on one wing, Brunt, good crashes of the ball. That Rondon had a great period, didn't he, where he's banging in the headers, whereas Sturridge needs through balls. He needs to, I just don't think he suits their style a bit.
I think I kind of made this point about Southampton a good while back. I have no idea what kind of team they are, and West Brom have fallen into that now, where they just Pardew, I think, has a habit doing this to teams. He claims to play nice football, but he just has a collection of players with no particular style about
it. No, you couldn't really say he has a recognisable style. I think goals are obviously a problem for both these teams. Looking there, West Brom 21 this season, only Swansea worse at 20. But you think between Rondon, Rodriguez and Sturridge, they would have got three good strikers there.
Well, Sturridge is, if he could stay fit.
Well, Rodriguez against his former club might definitely be a way to look in this one. 5-1 could be interesting.
Yeah, Klopp used to talk in the past about how Sturridge, basically the message seemed to be that he was too cautious, that if he had any little, if he felt anything at all, he was straight off the field. And he did 160-yard run against Chelsea, and good luck to you, I'm done. It's interesting you mention about the goal record. Swansea with the fewest goals in the Premier League with 20. West Brom and Burnley next with 21. And interestingly, between West Brom and Burnley, there's 13 places between them in the league, despite scoring the same amount of goals. 40 conceded for West Brom and 24 for Burnley. And it just shows they can't. Like, their defence is an absolute open door here. So my tip for this game, especially considering the 3-2 recently, over 2.5 goals is 5-4. Anyone else got anything to...
This is the kind of game, I can see it being a draw, so I'd probably put in the draw. But even something like Dre Rodriguez and 1-1 draw at about 22-1, I think it's just one of those sort of flutters for a game like this.
I actually disagree. I'm going for under 1.5 goals, 15-8. I can't see them scoring.
Right.
But that's fair enough. Defences are bad as well, so it could well be goals. But it definitely won't be a match I'll be watching.
And rightly so.
I'll agree on that one.
Another game this weekend is the 5:30, that same day, Saturday, Huddersfield Town against Man United, 17, like it's in the cup, but it's 17th in the league against second. The joint second worst defence, 47 goals conceded for Huddersfield against the best defence in the league. So Man United have lost two of their last three games against Newcastle and Spurs, and obviously beat Huddersfield 2-0 with Sanchez scoring his first goal, a rebound from a penalty. What are the prices here?
7-1 Huddersfield, 17-5 about the draw, and 2-5 Manchester United. They're always very, very skinny for these kinds of games, where you'd expect, you just look at a 2-0 scoreline and you're thinking, probably very likely in this scenario.
Paul Pogba, what, like, he was the most expensive player they've ever bought, and there are people giving out that he's not disciplined enough. He's been substituted a couple of times. He's not disciplined enough to hold the midfield in his own. I mean, if you're bought for 89 million, there, you have no excuse to say, I'm not disciplined enough to hold the midfield.
What would you
like,
do?
He needs to grow up and just learn to sit. Sit in the midfield. You don't need Pirlo behind you and be part of the left side of a three-man midfield. Just grow up and play the position and we'll stop putting you on the bench.
I'd take the opposite opinion. I think it's like... what do you do with Zidane? Do you ask Zidane to come back and you know?
But this lad is a midfielder. Like, Zidane was like a number 10.
And well, I think this that's Pogba's best spot. I think as a 10, if not, you know, maybe a little bit further back. But like, I mean, it's bursting forest away. Gerrard
was not
a
box to box midfielder. Like, you don't wear the number 6 shirt if you're a number 10.
But I mean, Gerrard wasn't a 10 in many ways. Actually, but Gerrard was stuck in there like a 10.
That's all the attributes, though, to be a box to box midfielder, doesn't he? Like,
but speaking of numbers, what is the queerest numbers that you've ever seen Premier League players wear for their position? I'm going to throw a couple at you. Khalid Boulerouz, who played fullback for Chelsea, occasionally centre back, number 9. That was a horror show.
That was ridiculous. That was.
William Gallas wore number 10 at centre back for Arsenal. I actually quite like that.
No, I can't stand that.
There was a striker who wore number 2. Abu
Johnson wore number 8. Right, he's a right back. He wore number 8 for Stoke.
Aruna Kone for Wigan wore number 2.
And then Barras, number 5 for Liverpool.
And I've got a beaut actually. Wasn't it Anthony Stokes was going mad to get the number 9 off Roy Keane, and Roy Keane gave him 99. Just to piss him off.
Yeah. That's probably no harm for him either. There was one other one that really stood out to me. Ozzy Ardiles is wearing number 1 back in, was it World Cup 1978? Because they did it alphabetically. There was a goalie, there was a couple of goalies in that tournament that wore number 5 and number 8. One Dutch, one Argentinian.
Wore number 8.
But I digress. Anyway, we'll also look at Man United against Sevilla in the Cup as well, but very hard to go against United winning this game. Like you said, 2-0 seems okay. Man United to win 2-0 is 6-5. Lads, anyone else got a little flutter for us there? Pat?
In which the Champions League?
In the Huddersfield game.
Oh, no, I expect them to win. Like Huddersfield, I'd be surprised if it's a priority for them. Like they got a good win against Bournemouth last week, surprisingly good win. So I don't see them pouring all the resources into this game, and United to win. What's the odds to? I saw something about the United to win 2-0.
Six to five.
Yeah.
There.
You weren't listening to me there just 20 seconds ago. So good to know. I should command your attention.
I would think in a game like this, you'd be thinking the old flat track bullies tag will apply to United, and Lukaku's one of the best for that. So 7-2 about him to get 2 or more goals in a game like this looks ideal. He'll come on, he'll score 2 goals in this one, and then he won't affect the Champions League game in any form.
Good man yourself, Lukaku. Wigan against City, Pat.
Yeah, similar to that, it's a repeat of the final. Is it, what year, 2013 is it? When Wigan beat them in the final, Sean Maloney with the winner.
Wigan went down as well, didn't they?
Relegated the same year, yeah. Similar to the previous, I couldn't see Wigan scoring against them, so Man City to nil is to win 2-0, is 4-5. And just the romantic in me sees that Will Grigg is 10-1 to score first goal for Wigan, so if he's as good as the... the Northern Ireland fans' chance would suggest, surely that's log odds.
But why does this appeal to the romantic in you?
I don't know the
description. Anyway, we won't focus on that game much longer because Rochdale against Tottenham Hotspur, I want to talk about just because of Spurs, really. Because, you know, Rochdale are just in the fifth round for the third time in their history. Big talk of the pitch being absolutely cat. It's after being relayed. They're bottom of League One, 9 points adrift. Spurs fifth in the Premier League. I think we all know which way this is going. But Spurs, the way they conceded 2 goals early on to Juve in the Champions League during the week, came back to draw 2-2, absolutely dominated the game against a side that is looking to win their 7th Serie A title in a row. Like this Spurs team, Roy Keane talked about it's embarrassing the way Spurs and Liverpool are going on, even though they've won nothing. Are Spurs ready to take this step up? I mean, I think the cup is somewhat irrelevant to them.
To be fair to the Spurs and Liverpool teams, I don't think the players are banging on about themselves. It's fans, and I think that was probably always the case even when Keane was playing. but maybe there wasn't as much social media platform to do it.
All right, but they need to back it up and start winning stuff here. I think Pochettino isn't interested in the cup because he wants to focus on Champions League and Premier League. But unfortunately, Man City, like, the horse has bolted on the Premier League this year.
Really annoys me, though, when teams like Tottenham don't concentrate on the FA Cup, like, because the Champions League's come so big, getting the top four is money, I suppose. But, like, when you're, if you're the player, though, and looking back on your career, you want winners' medals. And I know the FA Cup doesn't have the prestige it once had, but you don't get a medal. It sounds stupid. You don't get a medal for getting the Champions League spot. I think Spurs should.
Arsene Wenger, that he'll be good at.
Spurs, Arsenal won the FA Cup there a few times. He doesn't get much credit for that, though.
And rightly so. Yeah. It's a joke of a cup. Most of the big teams put in like half a team early on.
It's very sad.
I think
though,
the League
it?
Cup is actually more exciting. Yeah, that's been talked about a lot.
Yeah.
I go 3-0 to Spurs here as 5-1. I mean, you know. Pull a rabbit out of a hat on this one. Yeah. Who knows what it's going to be?
It's going to be something like that where you're going to find a bit of value. It's an interesting game because Spurs don't usually fly out of the traps the way City or Liverpool do. So you could see a sort of slow grinding win in a game like this. I'd look at maybe draw Spurs on halftime or full time of 14-5. Doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that. Like, from a Rochdale point of view, you couldn't paint a scenario where they get through. But at the same time, it's probably the best possible time to face Spurs coming back off a midweek European game. Having played really well against Juventus, like, it's hard to get yourself up for going to Rochdale on a Sunday afternoon, so it could take them a while to get going, but I would say it could be 0-0 at half time. They could win three or four then.
Okay, we'll just look ahead to the Champions League, like, next Wednesday as well. Actually Tuesday, Chelsea against Barcelona. It's a pretty mouth-watering tie, and it's hard not to think of Ronaldinho's goal at Stamford Bridge back in 2005. The banana shot outside of the foot—it was incredible stuff.
Iniesta's equaliser a few years later.
That was absolutely
the referee got hunted off the field by Didier Drogba.
Yeah, when he was calling him a disgrace or something like that.
Was that the same game, or was that a bit later after John Terry kicked Sanchez up the hoop and then claimed, even when he'd seen video footage, that he hadn't done it?
That might have been the same game. What was your man? What was the referee's name?
Was it Tom Henning of Rebo?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Pat.
Yeah. But somehow make that a stat, like, it's on the Sunday game.
I'm blushing here.
Yeah.
What's scary, that was.
What are the prices there?
27-10 about Chelsea for this one, 12-5 for the draw, and evens about Barcelona. They're 2-7 Barcelona to qualify, Chelsea 5-2 to qualify. So that's outside of the, obviously, the first leg here.
Yeah, and like, Chelsea got back on track with a 3-0 win over West Brom. They have to play Hull in the cup on Friday. Barcelona are away to Ibar on Saturday. They drew 0-0 at home at Getafe, which was the first time they were held all season in the league. Top of the league by 7 points. They just probably have a bit too much firepower, especially when you consider that things haven't felt right at Chelsea this season. Conte always under pressure. Will he stay? Will he go?
I wonder on that, could this be it then for Conte after these rounds of games? Because, I mean,
will he go full Roberto?
Yeah.
What was his name again? Roberto Di Matteo. Honest. Yeah. Both to score here 8-11.
Yeah,
anyone want a piece of that now?
Yeah,
you all want a piece of that. Yeah. Okay. And then we'll just quickly touch on Sevilla, Man United. We've already talked about Man United. So let's go directly for the prices here, Declan. Oh, I've caught you off guard. Eamon, what do you like here in terms of prices?
I think the draw's 21-10. I like the draw, yeah. I wonder, it'd be interesting to see how Mourinho approaches it. Obviously, with Liverpool, Tottenham, Man City getting great results away from home, I don't know if it brings a certain amount of pressure but I can't see that. I'd say you'll play Herrera in midfield, managed, and they'll be happy with the draw, and I can't see there being many goals, and possibly Pogba might be even on the bench. I don't know. Seville, Liverpool should have bet them easily. It was just kind of mental lapses in both of those games from Liverpool, I thought. They didn't press me that much, and but at the same time, they're at home. Yeah, gone for draw anyway.
19-10 about Sevilla, 21-10 about the draw, 29-20 about United, and the qualify 11-5 Sevilla, 1-3 Man United. I wonder what that is. It just a case of, we know what's coming from Man United. I mean, Sevilla are still relatively new. Look, they got Montella, who was managing Milan in a while ago, so they're still sort of finding their feet. With
the little aeroplane. Isn't that his nickname? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. So you wonder what they'll really serve up in this game, what kind of team they'll be. So that's probably the bigger question.
Yeah, I fancy United to go through. It's a good draw for them, but they might just finish the job at Old Trafford. I think 1-1 at 5-1 is looks good for me.
Okay, so that's the soccer. We'll have a little look at the horse racing here now, which Eamon is going to feature prominently now. You know, you took a back seat for the GAA. You're after warming up nicely. Talk to us about the Betfair Ascot Chase. It goes off at 3:35 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, for the list of betting, I'll give you there first. 7-4, top notch, waiting patiently at 5-2. Coney Island's 11-4. You've got Q Card in there, 10s, Frodon at 10, Sparadek at 25s, and Traffic Fluid, the outsider, 66-1.
Yeah, it's actually, for being so close to Cheltenham, it's actually a really good race. I really like Coney Island. I've backed it for the Gold Cup at good prices, but now the trainer's saying it could run the Ryanair, which would ruin my bet. But it's a really good horse. I think last season it was in a group of horses last season, the Disco, Road Respect and Arduke, and they kind of raced each other a few times, but for me Coney Island was the best of them, and that form's worked out really well. But I have a lot of respect for Top Notch as well. It's like a small little horse, but it jumps fences great. It's very consistent. It was the second in the GLT last year to York Hill, which is very good for him. But Coney Island 11-4, I really like that. And then you can't rule out Wayne Patiently either. He's done nothing wrong all season. It's actually a really good race. But yeah, my money be on Coney Island, that one.
Do you know the song, Coney Island? Surely,
no,
Declan.
I don't. No.
Goodbye, my Coney Island, baby.
Yeah. That's a little Fred Simpsons reference,
absolutely.
Top notch for me, probably wins this. He's seen good support already. He's looking a bit skinny, so keep an eye if he does drift on the day. That could be very, very interesting. Of course, Q Card, just to mention briefly. It's really a bit of a gamble if he retains that same kind of ability. Paddy Brennan's back on board as well, which makes for interesting reading, as Harry Cobden was brought on last time and chucked already. The Tizzards have a habit of making those sort of big calls, but I wonder, is that a bit more desperation? Could be very interesting just to watch, but I wouldn't be putting money on a Q Card.
What odds
a
Q Card, sorry?
About 10-1 at the moment.
10-1, right, yeah. Mm.
So the 3:15 at Haydock on Saturday as well, the Grand National Trial. Declan,
yeah, this is a very interesting one. 5-2 Black Line, who's on top weight and is gonna have a bit of a challenge here. You've got the Dutchman, who looks a really good challenger there at fours. Three Faces West 11-2, 6-1 Wild West Wind, the Klondike 15-2 and 10s or bigger the rest.
Yeah, the Black Line looks like being strong favourites, favourite for the Grand National as well. I think it will be hard to beat. It looks a better horse this season for me. I don't know what you think, Declan, but it was travelling like the winner in the Grand National last season, and people criticising all feeling for going too soon on it. I don't think it really stays to the Grand National trip, but this race looks perfect for it. But at the same time, the weight puts me off, and I'm going for a bit of value still. Saul, but Paul Nicholls, I think it's 14-1, and it looks good each way. But it ran well in the Welsh Grand National to finish fifth. I think hopefully it'll be better ground. Well, Haydock tends to be very soft, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. This is the thing. I'd say we were talking just before we even started recording here that we'd both sort of come up with that. And he's sort of on ideal trip again. He looks probably the value in this. And of course, with the reappearance of Native River there last week, he beat Native River. I mean, that kind of really feeds into the form that you'd be willing to have a go fifth, as you mentioned, in the Welsh Grand National. But it's the good ground that would put you, best performance being on the good ground that would put you off. So I would think I'll probably match yourself. I'll have a skinny wager at that on the day, but hoping that it gets a better head off, where it's usually
ground,
a bit more.
Yeah.
But I'll just to flag one or two up. I think the Dutch Line, just on better terms, the Black Line could really suit this kind of a race. Won impressively here last time for the Peter Marsh. And that was at a time when Tizzard's horses weren't exactly going top-notch either. Not to use Tom Lee's name in there. They weren't really in flying form. So he's sort of, I think, come back well. This one looks a really good chance, I think, to damage Black Line. I think Black Line probably still retains favouritism for the National, though, even after this with a defeat.
Yeah, I think so. Might be worth mentioning quickly at Garran Park, the entries came out for the Red Mills Chase, and now none of these horses might not run, but Duvan entered out of nowhere, really. You know, no one's seen that coming, but really Mullins has been saying working really well from a few months ago, saying he's ruled out for the season. Now he's saying he's working really well. If that ran in the championship, I don't think you see it running. No.
I was talking about this in the office. Not a chance for me he turns up. I think this is more this sort of Willie Mullins talking about him going here.
It would be like
I've got the prices for today's betting on this. So again, by the time we talk about this, it could be completely gone. Before the 6 Duvan, 9-4, presenting Percy, 9-2 Arduke. And then just to mention the Boyne hurdle then on Sunday, for us at Navan, Ladbrokes sponsored. Vroom Vroom Mags in there at 6-4, Bacardi's 5-2, Let's Dance 3s and 8-1 or bigger the rest. So those are, as again, half of them might not turn up, you know. Should also point out just our Ladbrokes 5-1 offer as well. If you plan on getting into our Republic of Ireland shops, we go 5-1. Winner 5-1, I should say, or bigger, gets you a free bet equal to your stake at Ascot at Kempton on Saturday and then at Navan on the Sunday.
It's there, we'll leave the horse racing. So just finally, we're going to look at the League of Ireland, which is starting this weekend. So we'll look at the outright betting and a couple of the matches as well. There's been changes to the structure of the league, so it's reduced from 12 teams to 10. But that actually means there's going to be more games this season because everyone's going to play each other four times over the course of a 36-game campaign. It's very hard to look outside Dundalk at the champions Cork and maybe Shamrock Rovers. And even at that, I think it's an outsider. So I think maybe for a fifth season in a row, it's going to be either Dundalk or Cork.
Yeah, it's, I mean, looking at the betting here, I'll just give you 11-8 about Dundalk, 13-8 about Cork. I think Shamrock Rovers about 11-2 and 16-1 or bigger the rest. Do you know what? I said it last year about Shamrock Rovers. They've got such talent in their team that if I was going to, I mean, if you were not going with Dundalk, I don't think I'd back Cork. I think 11-2 about Shamrock Rovers is very interesting. I think if they've got a nice little setup there with the sort of calibre player, they play some nice football and they've got a good young coaching team that I think we talked about when Paul was here at the
Stephen
start of
Bradley.
The year. Yeah, but Stephen Bradley, like, amongst others. But it's just maybe he's tactically a little behind the two lads at Dundalk and Cork. But you know what? I wouldn't completely rule out that 11-2. It's not a bad old
But
price.
Like they lost 13, like Shamrock Rovers lost 13 games last year from 33 and they were 22 points off the league winners. So, you know, I mean,
they need,
like,
they need to make massive improvement. I will say, huge part of that was down to discipline. They were so indisciplined.
But where's that come from? Is that Stephen Bradley?
Well, Bradley talked about actually at the League of Ireland launch the other day that he's well aware of it. He knows he knows he has, they have to improve on that. Because
is that because he's a younger manager? He's what, 33 years
old?
Yeah,
I wondered this last year. I wonder, was it down to his age and maybe is he letting them away with murder kind of thing? But I think there was just times where, not even just card-wise, there was games where they were just, I watched them play Bray. I think they were 1-0 up and lost at 4-1. They just lost the plot at times. Yeah. I think they're just still a team in transition. But I think when that team sort of clicks, it'll look quite a team.
Yeah, I suppose actually, I talk about the age, but then you look at the likes of Julian Nagelsmann and in Germany and Thomas Tuchel and guys like that who are quite young. So maybe it's a culture thing as well. They've made some signings like Ethan Boyle, Greg Bulger, Ali Gilchrist and a couple more. Shamrock Rovers are playing Bohemians this weekend and it's on RTE. Now, John Caulfield was given out about the lack of RTE coverage after the President's Cup game. Bohs are after bringing in a couple of players like Dinny Corker and Keith Ward and Kevin Devaney. Looking at the draw on both teams, the score here is 18-5. Are there any prices that sort of tickle your fancy?
I was looking at this guy. I should just point out Dinny Corcoran, he's retained. He was there last year. Yeah. He's going to be a very, very important player for them. Bowes 14-5, the draw 2-1, and Shamrock Rovers 19-20. It's an interesting game. I think Rovers tend to, well, last year certainly tended to go handy enough in this one. I was looking at Rovers and over 3.5 goals at 7-1, which I thought was quite big. Again, if you're sort of questioning Rovers' discipline, you're not the same way you were, Shane, not sort of certain that they'll be the finished article this year. 19-20 looks very skinny in the match betting, so I'd look at something like Rovers to win from behind at 12-1, and even the old solid 2-0 rule at 15-2 there should see them through, I would have thought.
Just getting back to the discipline issues that you mentioned there, are there odds on a red card in this game?
I don't have them in front of me here, but I'd say they'd be very skinny. Say they'd be very skinny indeed.
Putting him on the spot there. Very sound of you, Pat.
Rovers, I think, had another two players sent off in their preseason games, despite all the...
Well, there you go. That would suggest that that hasn't been sorted on their end yet.
That's
and
bad in a preseason game.
Anything I said at the start of the outright betting. Actually, just to flag one up on the outright bets before we move on the top scorer front, I thought one was really interesting was Kieran Sadler, moved from Sligo to Cork there last year. And is an absolutely outstanding player. Looks one of the best in the league, probably a little bit underrated. He only got 8 goals last year, but he was playing in a Cork team that were after having Sean Maguire in, firing on all cylinders, and then sort of didn't really have a recognised striker towards the end, and he played up top a bit. But I think a lot of the time with the top goal scorer mark of the league, you often just look at who's the most talented player in the league and get a big price on someone like Towell would have been previously. So 25-1.
With Dundalk, Ronan Murray's after signing there. He scored 13 goals last season, even though Galway were relegated. So, I mean, where does he feature in the price list?
Yeah, he's joint top at the moment there at 6-1. He's going to be He's going to be banged there, to be fair. I was trying to look for a little bit of value.
I think a lot of it is, if have Dundalk been able to finally absorb the hit of losing so many players?
Well, they've done it again this year. Dave McMillan's gone and Patrick McElhaney's gone. So, I mean, to me, I think Ronan Murray's more of an out-and-out goal scorer than McMillan. So I think he'll fit in there nicely. But himself and Graham Cummins are top of the outright market at 6-1. But I tell you what, I wouldn't put anyone off going with Ronan Murray. He just looks an absolutely fantastic player. Looks like he'll slot right into that to that Dundalk team.
Hmm. What about Adam Morgan? He's 14-1.
He is indeed, yeah.
Yeah,
14-1.
Apparently Robbie Fowler once described him as one of the best finishers he's seen, but he looks like potentially a good signing for Sligo Rovers with his background.
I'm hesitant with Sligo. I thought they'd have a chance of going down last year with how poor they started the season off. They're looking better, Nick, it's fair to say, this year, but yeah, I think you'd be looking more at the top of the table teams. I'll tell you what, Adam Morgan will be an interesting one to follow, all right, and 14-1's a fair price. I'd even be a little bit, I'd push it about it more and go with Dinny Corcoran, who we mentioned there at 16-1. I think he's probably one of the more underrated strikers in the league, and 16-1. I mean, I think he was 15 goals last year with Bowes, which, I mean, we're talking about Adam Morgan's impressive record. That's some performance from Dinny, and also I think Bowes have a couple of injuries pre-season, so they're no one to recognise strikers bar Dinny.
Another game that's on Friday night is Pats against Cork, the champions Cork, who came from two goals down to win that President's Cup game against Dundalk 4-2. And as I said, John Caulfield was giving out stink about there being no coverage and no highlights. They have a bigger squad this year, which, you know, last year they suffered really badly once Seanie McGuire left. Kind of feels like they have a bigger squad, better able to deal with any injuries and what have you. These two teams had a great game last year, so it could actually be quite a good game. And if you look at some of the Pats signings, like they got Kevin Toner from Aston Villa, which really stands out. And they also added Simon Madden, Jake Keegan and Dean Clark. So Bucko is aiming for top four there. So would you give him much of a shout here?
No, I...
You don't give him much of a shout for top four?
No, not really. I was
champions only, what was it, 3 or 4 years
ago?
Yeah,
it's such a quick turnaround in the league. That I don't know. Like, I mean, they lost, when you say they brought in Toner, it was a good get because I think Rovers were in for him as well. But they lost Dutch lad, Jordy Balk, who went back to Holland the summer there, and he looked an absolutely excellent defender. So they're already kind of starting from minus one in a way. They've not totally improved their team. I think they'll be a lot better this year, Pats, but I still expect they'll be fighting for it, but I could see them being below Derry again. I'd be surprised if they're able to make such a quick recovery. I'll actually be at this game, so hopefully it's another beauty. I'd expect Cork to be resolute, going to do their thing in this one and probably win it to nil at 9-4. They're 17-20 Cork in the game. Pats 14-5 in the draw is 23-10, but it should be a straightforward win for Cork.
You're a big League of Ireland head, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so who do you follow? If you're at Pats Cork, are you a Pats fan?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm a Limerick fan.
Right.
Well, just to give them a mention, they looked absolutely nailed on to finish bottom, I would say, this year. And in the relegation, well, in the finish bottom betting, they're 7-4. Bray, 15-8. And Sligo down there at 9-2 as well. I think, yeah, Limerick have lost a serious amount of good players and just about cobbled together a squad amidst the owl. We might have to sell you this year a bit from the top. So look forward to that. Travelling down to the Markets Field and seeing them getting whomped.
And what do you fancy for Pats Cork price-wise?
Yeah, as I said, Cork to win to nil at 9-4 looks good. And also Cork and under 3.5 goals at 13-8 I thought was very big as well. So that could be a couple of solid bets. I was looking just for an accumulator for the couple of League of Ireland matches. I've left out Waterford Derry because I think that looks like a draw. Looks tight enough. But 11-1 four-fold accumulator if you go with Rovers to win, Dundalk -1, Cork to win and Sligo to win. 11-1.
What would you say to Pat's draw no bet 7-4 here? Home game, first game of the season.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm starting with my opinion of last year's Pats, which I thought was pretty terrible. I've probably been a little bit harsh on them. They're a good team. I think on their day, they can really live up to the standard, but it's just whether they can start off. I mean, I think last season, they didn't get a home win until about 6-7 games into league season, which is pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Just talking to our soccer correspondent Paul O'Hare, he's a sneaking fancy that the Pats haven't been so bad last season, can, you know, that there will be a bounce factor from them, and that you know, they could, he's a sneaking fancy that they could pull off a bit of a shock here at 14-5 playing at home. You know, I know Cork started last season really well, but you know, that was exceptional. Probably, I presume, was the greatest start in the history of the league. So you know, they might just be caught cold in their first game against the Pats side, looking to prove something after a terrible season last year.
Well, hopefully it's a good League of Ireland season, because, you know, we don't want to repeat the floodlight failures that kind of blighted last year. A lot of good players have been drained from the league as well. They've been poached. So, hopefully it's a good season. The first division title race, is there something you wanted to mention there as well?
Well, just that, again, it looks very competitive. Yeah, one of the most competitive. I was chatting to Cove Ramblers boss, Stephen Henderson, there a couple of nights ago, and he kind of put it to me that's the most competitive... most competitive division, like, about
of all
really
time.
Well, certainly most competitive first division he's ever seen, and I wouldn't argue that. I mean, Galway are 9-4, Longford are going to be banged there 9-2, Drogheda 6-1, then you've got Finn Harps, who only just gone down 13-2, Shells 13-2, UCD at 8, and even Cove wouldn't be completely out of it at 10-1. You've got 12s or bigger to rest then, so it really is going to be very, very competitive.
So lads, just to finish off now, we'll have a little look at your bets of the week. What's standing out for you, Declan?
I liked Clare half-time, full-time against Cork, actually, at 13-8. I think we talked about in the outright or before the Allianz League kicked off, and I actually talked about either of those two teams finishing bottom. I've been surprised by Clare. They've started off very well, so I think they have a good chance. They're playing well so far. 13-8 for half-time, full-time, and I'll stick that accumulator for the League of Ireland in there as well. Rovers to win, Dundalk minus one, Cork to win, Sligo to win, 11-1, it should return thereabouts.
Coney Island for me in that...
Sing it.
Ascot Chase.
Sing it.
No, I don't know it, so I can't. I've been following this horse for a while and got big hopes.
Pat?
Yeah, just looking at the All-Ireland Club semi-final in Tullamore on Saturday afternoon, Corfin and Moorfield. I expect Corfin to get there, but I expect Moorfield to give them a right good rattle. I've seen both teams in action in their provincial campaigns, obviously with the long gap, which is ridiculous. You don't know what sort of shape
it's
going to be.
It's been 2 months plus, since they played a real game. Like, Carfin played Fulham Gales, but let's be honest.
But I suppose it's better than a challenge match, but still, they played the kind of final the last week in November. It's now middle of February. So I think
just past Valentine's Day, how did you spend it, Pat?
Watching Liverpool in my local pub last night.
Right, were you there on your own?
I was with some male company.
Do you have a special a male company? All right, what a revelation!
Multiple male.
Right,
I think we should just go back to the bets before this gets out of hand.
Okay,
but I fancy Moorfield half time, Corfin full time, 9-2.
I fancy a little matchup there between a couple of 37-year-olds, Ronan Sweeney for Moorfield and Kieran Fitzgerald for Cara Finn there. Mm. Wouldn't be shocked to see the two of them battling it out on the edge of the square. My bet of the week has to be Wexford +4 against Tipperary, 5-6. I think that's pretty much nailed on, because I think Wexford are targeting this game. They'll want to go down and get a result. Tip, we're not 100% sure. So I think we've it all said, lads. So don't forget, you can follow us on Spotify and iTunes. So subscribe to us there. And we'll talk to you again next week.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.